Hello and welcome to your GCSE Law Revision Podcast. Today we're diving into topic 2.3, the individual, your legal rights and protections. We'll cover defamation, human rights, privacy, data protection and property torts. By the end you'll have a clear mental map and know exactly how to apply it in the exam. Let's get started. Let's begin with defamation and the Defamation Act 2013. Defamation is when someone makes a false statement about you that damages your reputation. Imagine someone posts on social media that you cheated in your exams. That's defamation. Defamation comes in two forms. Libel is defamation in permanent form, written, printed, broadcast, or posted online. The claimant does not need to prove actual damage. The law presumes it. Slander is defamation in transient form, spoken words or gestures. With slander, the claimant generally does need to prove special damage, meaning actual financial loss. Remember, libel equals no proof of damage needed. Slander requires proof of special damage. Under the Defamation Act 2013, Section 1 introduces the serious harm test. The statement must have caused, or be likely to cause, serious harm to the claimant's reputation. This stops trivial claims clogging up the courts. To succeed in a defamation claim, the claimant must prove three things. First, the statement was defamatory. Second, it referred to the claimant. Third, it was published to at least one third party. The defences under the Act are crucial. Section 2, truth. If the statement was substantially true, that's a complete defence. Section 3, honest opinion, applies where the statement was opinion, based on existing facts, and an honest person could have held it. Section 4, publication on a matter of public interest, protects journalists who reasonably believed publishing was in the public interest. Section 15, privilege, covers statements made in Parliament or court proceedings. Remedies include damages, an injunction, and a correction or apology. Now, human rights. The Human Rights Act 1998 incorporated the European Convention on Human Rights into UK domestic law. You need to know three articles. Article 8, right to private and family life. This protects your privacy, your home, your correspondence. It's a qualified right. The state can interfere, but only if that interference is lawful, necessary, and proportionate. Article 10, freedom of expression, protects your right to express yourself through speech, writing, or art, also qualified. Article 11, freedom of assembly and association, protects your right to gather with others and join organisations. Here's the key exam point. Articles 8 and 10 are often in direct tension. A celebrity's right to privacy under Article 8 might clash with a journalist's right to expression under Article 10. Examiners love this tension. When you see a scenario about a celebrity trying to stop a newspaper story, that's Article 8 versus Article 10. The European Court of Human Rights sits in Strasbourg, France. It is not an EU institution. It belongs to the Council of Europe. Individuals can only bring a case after exhausting all domestic remedies. If the ECHTR finds a violation, it can award compensation and declare the UK has breached the convention. This puts pressure on the government to change laws, a really significant impact you should analyse critically in the exam. Data protection. The Data Protection Act 2018 governs how personal data is collected, stored and used. Key principles: data must be processed lawfully and fairly, collected for specified purposes, adequate and relevant, accurate and up-to-date, not kept longer than necessary, and kept secure. For the exam, know sections 1 to 7 for the general framework, section 43 for the Information Commissioner's Office, section 45 for law enforcement processing, and section 170 for the criminal offence of unlawfully obtaining personal data. The Freedom of Information Act 2000 gives the public the right to request information held by public authorities. Public bodies must respond within 20 working days. There are exemptions for national security and personal data. Now, occupiers' liability. Two acts, and you must know which applies when. The Occupiers' Liability Act 1957 applies to lawful visitors, people invited onto the premises. The occupier owes a common duty of care to ensure visitors are reasonably safe. The standard is higher for children. The Occupier's Liability Act 1984 applies to trespassers. The duty is lower and only arises if three conditions are met. The occupier must be aware of the danger, must know the trespasser is in the vicinity, and the risk must be one they may reasonably be expected to guard against. Key distinction. 1957 Act equals lawful visitors, higher duty. 1984 Act equals trespassers, lower duty, with conditions. Finally, trespass to land. This occurs when a person unlawfully enters, remains on, or places objects on another's land without permission. Trespass is actionable per se, no need to prove damage. Three forms: unlawful entry, intentional or direct interference, and continuing trespass. Remedies include damages, an injunction, and a removal of objects. That covers our core concepts. Next up, exam tips, common mistakes, and a quick FOIA quiz. Stay with me.
Welcome back! Now let's talk about exam technique and the mistakes that cost students marks every year. Mistake number one, confusing libel and slander. Candidates lose marks by saying slander doesn't require proof of damage. Remember, libel is permanent, no proof needed. Slander is spoken, proof of special damage required. Mistake number two, failing to distinguish between the 1957 and 1984 Occupiers' Liability Acts. Always ask first, is the person a lawful visitor or a trespasser? If they're a visitor, it's 1957. If they're a trespasser, consider 1984, but only if the three conditions are met. Do not just say the occupier is liable without identifying which act applies. Mistake number three, misapplying Article 8 privacy claims versus data protection breaches. Article 8 is about the right to private and family life under the Human Rights Act. Data protection is about how organisations handle personal data under the Data Protection Act 2018. They overlap, but they are not the same thing. Mistake number four, overlooking specific sections of the Acts. Examiners award marks for citing specific sections. Don't just say the Defamation Act says. Say, under Section 1 of the Defamation Act 2013, the serious harm test requires. That precision earns marks. Mistake number five, confusing the European Court of Human Rights with EU institutions. The ECTHR is part of the Council of Europe, not the European Union. If you confuse these in the exam, you will lose marks. Command word strategies. When the question says state or give, keep it brief. When it says describe, explain what something is using correct legal terminology. When it says explain, you must say how or why. Use the word because to link cause and effect. For example, the claimant will succeed because the statement was published to a third party, satisfying the publication requirement under the Defamation Act 2013. When it says analyse or evaluate, consider multiple perspectives, weigh up the evidence and reach a conclusion. For scenario-based questions, and most questions in this topic will be scenario-based, always use the IRAC structure. Identify the issue, state the rule, apply the rule to the facts, reach a conclusion. This structure keeps your answer focused and ensures you pick up every available mark. Time management. Allow approximately 1 minute per mark. A 4-mark question should take about 4 to 5 minutes. A 6-mark question, 6 to 7 minutes. Don't spend 10 minutes on a 2-mark question. Now for our quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give you the answer. Cover your notes. This is retrieval practice, and it genuinely helps you remember. Question 1. What is the difference between libel and slander? Answer. Libel is defamation in permanent form, no need to prove damage. Slander is defamation in spoken form. The claimant must prove special damage. Question 2. What three things must a claimant prove to succeed in a defamation claim? Answer. 1. The statement was defamatory. 2. It referred to the claimant. 3. It was published to a third party. Question 3. Which Occupiers' Liability Act applies to trespassers? Answer. The Occupiers' Liability Act 1984.
Question 4. Name two defences under the Defamation Act 2013 with their section numbers. Answer. Section 2, truth. Section 3, honest opinion. You could also have said Section 4, public interest, or Section 15, privilege. Question 5. What does Article 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights protect? Answer. The right to respect for private and family life. Question 6. What is the serious harm test and where is it found? Answer. Section 1 of the Defamation Act 2013. The statement must have caused or be likely to cause serious harm to the claimant's reputation. Brilliant. How did you do? If you got all 6, you're in great shape. If you missed some, go back and review those areas. Let's finish with a quick summary. 1. Defamation Act 2013. No libel versus slander. The serious harm test in Section 1, the three things a claimant must prove, and the four main defences with section numbers. 2. Human Rights Act 1998. Know Articles 8, 10 and 11. Understand that Articles 8 and 10 can conflict, and know the role of the European Court of Human Rights. 3. Data Protection Act 2018. Know the 6 key principles and Sections 1 to 7, 43, 45 and 170. 4. Occupiers' Liability, 1957 for lawful visitors, 1984 for trespassers with conditions. 5. Trespass to land, actionable per se, 3 faults, unlawful entry, intentional interference, and continuing trespass. And the golden rule for the exam, always link your legal rule to the specific facts of the scenario. Don't just recite the law, apply it. That's where the marks are. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you in the next episode. You've got this.